This is Shahzad once again. I'm a student here at the Islamic Seminary in Qom. And today we have in the studio Brother...
My name is Haider Al-Hakim and I'm from Jammu and Kashmir, actually from the Kashmir occupied, Indian occupied side of the Kashmir. Did my studies from there as well. I have a master's degree in biotechnology and I was working as a senior research fellow in the National Center for Biological Science and Neurobiology.
How old are you again?
I'm 28.
I don't know how true it was, but all we would see in the news was how much the Muslims in the Indian occupied Kashmir are being oppressed every day of their lives and they don't have any rights over
there. To be honest, most of it is true. Yeah, it is. My father, my grandfathers and all those people, like my relatives, they've seen the worst than me. It would like calm down for a certain time, you know, that the silence before the kill and all that stuff. So yeah, but then once it starts, it takes a whole to be a different level. So yeah, it was pretty bad at times.
And it has never really completely ended. The things with India and Pakistan have always been hard.
Never. It has never gone to a level where, like, you could say suddenly that there's a peace or something of that sort. But yeah, it has been always problematic there.
Tell us about your educational endeavors.
I was always interested in science and I pursued my graduation in life science from University of Delhi. After finishing a three-year course there, I went to do my master's in biotechnology towards the south of India from Orissa, where I finished my master's in 2 years. Then I joined 1 year as a junior research fellow in oncology. I studied cancer biology. And to be specific, I was working on mouth cancers, oral squamous cancers there. And then I shifted from there to my senior research fellow in National Center for Biological Science in Bangalore, where I was working on neurobiology. I was working with memory formation, how human beings they are, like how memory is formed, how a long-term memory or a short-term memory is formed, what are the circuits that are involved in it. And I used to work on model organisms like Drosophila melanogaster there. So it was, alhamdulillah, really good in day.
So what was it that directed you?
Coming to this place was altogether a different story because I always wanted to come here to start off with my house. My father was always supportive of it, but it took me almost 6 years to convince my mother to say yes to me to go to this
place. How come?
She was like most of the parents back in India. They were very protective about their children, and like they don't want like them to go away and like spend a lot. Because if you come to Hosa and you completely dedicate yourself to this place, it's minimum 10 or 12 years. You're not going anywhere. You're staying here.
So how were you able to convince your mother then?
To be very honest, I would want
emotional blackmail.
No, I didn't do that at all. I kind of asked her every year that I want to go, and every year I was like, said no, it's not possible.
You said you always wanted to go, so what was it that always had?
One of the reasons that my mother actually said yes was after showing my mother the Life in the Hausa documentary in Islamic Pulse. So yeah, she was pretty worried about where you're gonna live, how you're gonna survive there with the amount of money that you get in the Shahri and all that thing. So I just showed him like that. It's all right. People do exist. There are people like who survive on less and less. And that's the thing. Once you come here, you see it for yourself. You see the beauty in itself. You see the way her whole system works, and it kind of sustain you and all that thing.
Yeah, you just have to have that noble, selfless goal, and then Allah creates your path, and Allah creates everything that you need. Like, what was it that inspired you into following this path and then ending up here?
To be honest, there was a scientist actually at the time of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi wasalam. His name was Jabir ibn Hayyan. In modern Europe, he's known by the name of Jibr, and he's known as the father of alchemy. I had two passion in my life. One was science, another was religion. It's like religion is like, it's all together in you. It runs in you in a way. And the way Jabir ibn Hayyan actually combined the two of them and came up with something which was so beautiful.
I mean, it's not, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's not him that combined it.
Yes,
saw it the way it is.
Yes.
Science as being a part of everything that comes from Tawheed.
Yes. The thing is like, that was exactly what Jabir ibn Hayyan was for me. The kind of way he understood the thing that religion and science, they just go hand in hand. And like Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi wasalam actually advising people to go into science and different other ulum. That was kind of a thing that motivated me a lot about this. And I was always about, like, I always wanted to come here and, like, study my religion. I don't want to be kind of a person who was just born in a religious family and you just inherit religion. Religion is not something that you inherit. Just born a Shia doesn't make you a Shia. Or just born a Muslim doesn't make you a Muslim.
In my humble opinion, I found science to be a tool and a language that leads you to God. Everything's connection with God.
It does. To be very honest, I have seen it. Being in science, I've seen it. But to be honest with you, at times when you study science, it becomes a kind of a thing where, like, you know, it's a full stop. Because there are things that science is not yet equipped to answer. I wouldn't say that it does strengthen your belief, but it doesn't answer. In science, it's all about rationality, and it's all about...
Everything is related to mind.
Yeah.
Anything out of mind does not exist.
Yeah, true. And if it's not supported by any experimental proof, everything kind of falls apart. That's where actually imagination starts, and religion actually teaches you that, to go and explore beyond your mind and beyond what can be proven by experimental designs and all. I mean, if you see the philosophers like Aristotle or like the European, the great thinkers and all that thing, and even in Muslims, also everybody has like tried to answer these questions beyond the dimensions and realms of science. Because at one point of a time, you reach a point in science wherein like you kind of feel that it's not well equipped to answer questions like that.
In the modern age right now, the way people are running the science, they are after multiplicity, and they are after dividing everything and like going into detail of everything and finding out how it's separate from everything else, when it's supposed to be how it's a part of everything else.
Yeah, it's exactly what Will Durant say in his book of philosophy. I don't know if you've read it. It says like there are two people. One are scientists and another are philosophers. Both have their shortcomings. A philosopher, they think more and more about less and less, and scientists, they think less and less about more and more. So it's like they kind of zero down and zone out on like one particular thing, and they just kind of take a lot of information about that simple small thing, narrowing down their vision and like forgetting about a bigger picture. So that's how scientists actually work nowadays. Like there's a field, you go deeper, 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 and you just lose the vision of a bigger picture. And with philosopher, it's like you go towards the bigger picture and you forget about the smaller, smaller things, the connectivities that actually connects them. And it's the amalgamation of both of them is very important to me. The point wherein like where they try to find in Higgs boson particle, like wherein like they find a point wherein like all the fields, the electromagnetic fields and all those fields kind of collide and become one field and give rise to different planets and all that thing. That's what they portray in Higgs boson
particle. And now they have no way to answer that except believing in the unseen.
That's exactly what I was telling you, that to answer a question like that, science at the present time is not equipped. Even when I was in my, like when I was doing the degree and all that stuff, you could see, I mean, with whatever tools you have and whatever understanding you have, you could still see that there is something bigger in play here. It cannot be all random or it cannot be all just out of nothing. You always have this question, even no matter how basic you go with the cause and effect theory. There will always be a point when like you have to answer a question like where did that actually start from?
Wajibul wujud.
That's what actually the philosophy of Mullah Sadra says about as well, like the concept of wajibul wujud. So yeah.
What are your thoughts on rapper?
That's a very complicated question.
You can put your thoughts together and then say it in a way.
The thing is, to be honest, it's like there are, for me, rehber is more or less like this. You see, you read books, you read Quran, then you read hadith. When you see a person who kind of becomes an, like, what do you call that, imbibe those morals and those sayings of Quran and hadith in his life and lives them. So he kind of becomes, like say for example, I'm reading a hadith and I see rahbar, he becomes a walking hadith for me because of his actions that he has, because of the work that he has done on his nafs.